So here's the deal. Today was initially going to be a show only until 4:45 because of high school basketball, but as we've all become accustomed to, I'm sure you understand where this is heading next. COVID. COVID issues with May South. So Manhattan's game is off. And all of a sudden, you know, we found out on pretty short notice that we had a longer show to do. And, you know, when you look ahead and you see, hey, show that's not going to be as long, you don't prepare as much, like, for a full show. Caught a bit flat-footed here. You know, your boy trying to take some time to relax a bit more today with that on the schedule, and now all of a sudden we have to do, you know, this second hour of the show, which is fine, but I'm just leveling with you and being honest here. We didn't have anything very intricately planned. So what I did is I came up with, and I mean, Thursdays, there's usually not like a big burning story because we're not coming off a game, we're not previewing a game. There's no real obvious big K-State headline today. What I can do for you is put together a list of like 10 topics here that can all be quick hitters, and we play topic roulette. We're going to play topic roulette for you for the next two segments, meaning we don't know where it's going to land. It's just the roulette wheel is going to pick a topic for us. We don't know what that could be. It could be Eric Bieniemy. It could be Ron Prince's first staff at K-State. It could be Nigel Pack in an injury update. It could be my Tinder account. Could be any of those things and everywhere in between.
Is that the whole list or what? Because I don't know what's on the whole list.
That's not the whole list.
You brought this up like 10 minutes before tip-off, and I'm not prepared.
It's not the whole list. But that's the beauty of it, Mitch. We're taking a weakness of today's show and turning it into a strength by making it something interesting, and that's a part of the beauty, Mitch. It will all be natural, and you'll be reacting to it naturally because you don't know what's coming.
I feel like I'm in a duel and my gun's not loaded.
Well, let's load that gun, baby. Let's load that gun because here comes Topic Roulette.
Black 13.
I don't even really know how roulette works.
It's a game of chance.
And it has come out to Patrick Mahomes practiced again today. How about that?
Here we go.
Patrick Mahomes practiced again today. We heard from Mitch Holthus yesterday that Thursday and Friday were the real keys because Thursday in particular is a heavier workload day in the week of practice, whereas Wednesday is just like, hey, breeze through. Let's just get in, get out. Didn't matter as much to Mahomes' practice yesterday. Here's the phrasing. Patrick Mahomes took the majority of starter reps on Thursday. Andy Reid said that Mahomes got good work in, and that's the important thing. Would not officially comment on how Mahomes is progressing within the concussion protocol, but where's the part about Friday? Final clearance will come from an independent neurologist, but all signs right now point to Mahomes playing, barring some sort of setback in the next 48 hours. That's according to Lindsey Jones of The Athletic. Can you imagine what the story of Patrick Mahomes is going to look like? What day is the Super Bowl, Mitch? What day is the Super Bowl?
That would Sunday.
Be February 7th. February 7th on February 8th. What this dude's career is going to look like. He will have not only two Super Bowl MVPs and two Super Bowls, but a league MVP. And his two Super Bowls and Super Bowl MVPs will have occurred in a year where his kneecap like was just gone, done, ripped out on a quarterback sneak. Just busted kneecap, no big deal. And then the year after, he gets drilled with a concussion and looks, well, not a concussion. He gets drilled in the back of the neck and looks cartoonishly woozy in a playoff game and still comes back to win the Super Bowl later that year. Like, no, I mean, who, name me somebody that has even like one of those two things, let alone two of those two things, let alone happening in his first 3 years as a starter. Oh, by the way, along the way, he, you know, took his team to three straight home AFC championship games, something that even the New England Patriots couldn't do. I am here for it. It is just another chapter in this incredible, epic saga that is the Patrick Mahomes legacy.
Patrick Mahomes has already spilt the beans, and this was after the game that, oh, I'm fine. I'm going to be okay. I mean, I don't think he would be on Twitter saying those kind of things if he was messed up. All right?
Well, he, if you had a concussion, like you can't use your phone.
Is that a rule?
Well, you're not supposed to like look at any screens or anything. That's like the hard part about a concussion is you can't even reading. Like if you had a bad concussion, like anything that forces you, that's why like there's just really not much to do if you actually suffered a severe concussion. So yes, I took that to be a very good sign.
If it wasn't for the concussion protocol, the old rumor was, right, if you can't go to sleep if you've been concussed, that's false. I mean, that's not a thing anymore.
Like a wives' tale or something.
It totally is. But if it wasn't for the NFL concussion protocol, would the Chiefs come out and say, oh, he's good to go? I wouldn't, because just work everybody the whole week. Why not make Buffalo prepare for two quarterbacks instead of one? Just keep feeding news. I mean, that's all Andy Reid has to do is, well, you know, he practiced today, you know, just trying to go day by day. You know, just give us the boring coach talk.
And that is true. But I will say, I've heard that pitched, and I don't think it really matters that much to Buffalo because, like, what specific game planning do you have to do around Chad Henne? I mean, no offense to the guy. Put his body on the line in a great play.
Into the game against.
Well, okay.
The Browns.
That's nothing that you need to game plan around. You
that's a 13-year vet you're talking about.
You game plan around Mahomes, and then like if he's not playing, you just say, okay, well, scratch the 80% of that. That's for you know guys that can do Mahomes things, and then let's just you know keep that part of the basic part of the playbook. That's for the you know 35-year-old journeyman. Dime a dozen NFL quarterback.
I would be shocked if Mahomes does not get cleared to play. And I'm no insider with the Chiefs or anything. I don't know anybody besides Mitch Holtis with the Chiefs. But come on. I mean, I think we all know Patrick Mahomes is going to play on Sunday. This isn't really a big debate.
I agree. He'll be out there. The Chiefs will win. It's going to be another Super Bowl. Cocky Chiefs fan John in full effect, man. No question about it.
Oh, we're going again.
Yeah, topic roulette.
Red 5.
It's supposed to be quick hitters, Mitch. Topic roulette. We can't just pontificate about one of these for an entire segment.
Got to edit the podcast.
It looks like we have Nigel Pack isn't going to play on Saturday. Bruce Weber did have a Zoom press conference earlier today. And that was the word through Kellis Robinette. I was not able to attend said Zoom press conference. But we pretty much already knew that. And I would reiterate some of what I said. I think it's a... I don't think it's a big, big deal. I think it matters, but I don't
think it is.
I don't think it's going to... How much of a chance do you give K-State to win if Nigel Pack is healthy?
Well,
I guess that's really the question.
If you're asking Mitch Palm, a greater chance than without him.
Of course.
That's for sure.
Of course, but my response to that would be, does it move the needle from if we're going to operate in the world of Palm percents? Like if it goes from a 15% chance of winning to a 22% chance of winning, is that something you would consider significant?
Well, you know, K-State's best three-point shooter. He's, you know, top three scorer. What's K-State lacking right now? Points?
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue.
I would much rather have him.
I guess the argument that I am putting out there to you is just that they don't have a great chance of winning either way.
I mean, if you want to look at it to where it gives other guys opportunities to get more minutes, blah, 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 those kind of topics, sure, I'll listen to that for a little bit. But when we get to the end of the road and we have unloaded all of our information, I'm probably still not going to be budged the other way. It's kind of a bulletproof case for me that Nigel Pack has to be on the floor to give K-State a true fighting chance, especially with what D.Y. said in the first hour about or you actually might have said it, I can't remember, but saying the Big 12 is better now than they were last year, absolutely. Absolutely, and you're running to West Virginia. Yeah, who hasn't played in a couple weeks, but for some reason, when these teams come back, they've been playing pretty well. Like, it's like they haven't missed a beat. So, is K-State ready for something like that? Probably not. I don't think so.
Yeah, that I feel like you're making my point, though, with that. That's what I'm saying. Like, Nigel Pack doesn't make that much of a difference because I don't know that they have much of a chance to win the game anyway. And listen, I hope that's famous last words. I every time I say that, I go back and reference what I said before the Oklahoma football game this year, which was very similar. I hope that that's the case, but I don't see much of a chance to win, even though West Virginia is a team that hasn't played in
well,
2 weeks.
Okay, I'll agree with you to a certain extent. Yes, it probably doesn't make much of a difference with the win-loss column. Okay, yes, I still don't think K-State beats the number 14 team in the country and snap a six-game conference losing streak. It would be fantastic if they did, but a fighting chance, a better chance of competing and having a chance to win, yes, I think it is obviously better with Nigel Pack. You have much more of a chance.
Mentally, there's probably a mental edge to that too, just feeling better about him being out there, and maybe it makes a big difference for Mike McGurl. I mean, listen, I can walk you through the ways that it would improve the team. I just don't see it happening regardless of what's out there. And I do think, again, much as I love Nigel Pack, think he has shown a tremendous amount of potential, and this is no slight on him at all, because he's ahead of where I thought that he would be right now. But I do think that when somebody is gone, you know, it's easy for their value to be overestimated when you're missing somebody. I mean, it kind of the same concept as like when a mega music star, pop star, whatever dies, a lot of times they are remembered more fondly than had they just lived their life out. Like, it takes on a new kind of aura. Tupac, Biggie, Kurt Cobain, like these figures that die, they take on this like legendary aura as opposed to if they would have just... So I think some of that effect is in place, if you can follow me there. Topic Roulette continues next. All right, we're doing Topic Roulette. We're doing Topic Roulette because we were not prepared to do a full show today, so I've got some quick hitters for you. We're going to spin the roulette wheel. We'll see where this winds up. I think I know where the next one is going.
So the game's rigged already.
Because I can't stop laughing about it in here. You think it's fit for the air, Mitch? I mean, it's going to come out now here at this point.
It is K-Man After Dark.
Here we go. Topic roulette. K-Man totally after, random.
K-Man After Work.
Totally, totally random. Topic roulette. And topic roulette landed on Tinder. Wow, how about that?
Oh boy, here we go.
How about that? So, I am perusing Tinder earlier today. A dating app for those of you uninitiated. And my God, let me tell you. If you didn't have any idea what it was before I just told you, you are living a blessed life. You are living a blessed life. But there are some fleeting moments that are hilarious. Like this. So, I'm swiping through, right? One pops up. It is a picture of a dog. You know, you'll see that every now and then. You'll see people post pictures of themselves with dogs. This is just a dog. Also, it is a dog in some kind of goofy costume. I actually feel a little bit bad for the dog because of said costume. But the bio underneath the dog says, looking for someone who doesn't mind me filming us hooking up for me and my boyfriend. And it's a picture of this dog. I almost spit my drink out when I saw it. It is one of the funniest things that I feel like I've ever seen. Because, I imagine, Mitch, what has happened here is that somebody's friend stole somebody's phone and took it and put this together to do it as a joke, right? I imagine that that has to be what's happened here. But yeah. We can't know for sure. There's so many layers to this. I'll let you have at it here. What is your reaction to seeing this?
My reaction, it is quite obvious how bad you need a girlfriend.
Well, you're not wrong.
You need to get out of there. All right, because I'm kind of worried almost. This feels like a breaking point.
This has to be the moment.
You're laughing uncontrollably. You're kind of rocking back and forth when you're laughing. I think you have gone mad with Tinder. By the way, are you still on Bumble? You still doing the Bumble?
Not as much. I don't like it as much.
You can actually, because now I guess Bumble is a publicly traded company, so you can go buy some stock in Bumble if you choose to do so.
I feel like it's getting its kicked by Hinge these days.
Hinge is a good one.
I feel like Hinge and Tinder are more the brand names, and Bumble is starting to fall back. But I don't know. That could be totally wrong. I don't know how it works in like places, you know, they're actually like not tiny population areas. I should not probably be the be-all, end-all authority here because I'm sitting here doing this in the town of, what, 40,000 people, 50,000 people? No idea how it works in a major metropolitan area.
You don't know how it works. Come on.
Well, I know how it works, but it may be I don't know, man. Maybe there's just less people here because of something about it being a college town and less people. I don't know what it's like in NYC. Maybe Bumble's doing fine. Around here, it seems to be that Hinge and Tinder are the places to be.
I don't know. I haven't been on the apps in a little while, so
I don't
think they've evolved that much. I always thought all three of them have had decent activity, but I would say it's easier for men on Hinge because they can be themselves, initiate the conversation without actually matching with somebody yet. Right, you can pick out a picture or you can pick out something funny on their bio and you can comment on it. Say something nice or say something clever. Boom, conversation started and nobody even swiped right or left on you yet. They choose if they like the comment, basically.
I feel like we've strayed.
And if you're hot.
I feel like we've strayed away. See what I did there? From the original topic at hand here.
Oh, okay.
Your reaction to this dog.
I gave it to you.
Apparently the dog's name is Chelsea.
Like, you even laughing about the dog's name. Like,
I just, it's funny to look at.
Like, when you showed it to me and you were laughing out loud, I was like, well, okay, yeah, sure. It's funny, yeah. Haven't seen that one yet. It's not like, I don't think they went to a website and said typed in clever Tinder bios and found that one.
No, probably not. I don't think, and I mean, that is...
Which is something everybody's done.
Oh, of course. Of course. All right. Well, you seem to be done with this topic. I thought it was pretty damn funny. I really did. So that's what you're missing if you are somebody who's not single. That's what you're missing out here. But feel free to contact Chelsea. Okay, topic roulette has landed on the ridiculous, ridiculous juxtaposition of who the Detroit Lions hired as head coach and who the NFL is not hiring as a head coach. Nobody will hire Eric Bieniemy, the Chiefs offensive coordinator, who happens to be black. He has interviewed for 15 jobs now in 3 years. He's the offensive coordinator of obviously the greatest thing going in professional football right now. He's worked closely with Andy Reid. He's worked closely with Patrick Mahomes. Still not getting jobs. The Eagles just hired. You know, you'll hear all these different things. Didn't interview well. Well, he's now somebody. He's markedly improved as a public speaker in his time in Kansas City. He's been through 15 of these interviews. He's tutored by Andy Reid. I think the guy, by this point, has figured out to not be a disaster in an interview. That seems to me to be pretty hollow. There's this talk of like, well, he had some trouble in his past when he was at Colorado. 30 years ago, when he was a player at Colorado. Nobody cares about that anymore. I mean, that is a ridiculous justification that you would only use if you're trying to use it to justify the real reason that you're not hiring the guy. There's also, well, he's not actually calling the plays. Andy Reid calls the plays. Well, the Colts offensive coordinator just got hired today to be the head coach of the Eagles, a white guy who is an offensive coordinator who does not call the plays because Frank Reich does in Indianapolis. So, like, we're running out of the room for the goalpost to be moved or whatever it is here. And then the capper on all of this is this guy that the Lions hired. The Detroit Lions hired Dan Campbell. First of all, we can't get a black head coach hired, but we're hiring Dan Campbell. Here's what Dan Campbell has to say about what he is going to do as the head coach of the Detroit Lions.
We're going to kick you in the teeth, all right? And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off, all right? And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down, all right? And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap. And we're going to get up, and then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing. All right? That's going to be the mentality.
By biting kneecaps. Off. Completely off.
Eric Bieniemy does an interview well. Eric Bieniemy does an interview well. This guy's out here talking about, like, we're going to be biting off kneecaps. What kind of roided up, overroided, dumb response is that? How do you have any confidence in that guy's a head coach after that? That sounds to me like some high school, like if you come in at the high school level and you're like, we are going to be so doggedly determined and we're going to beat people with that, like, you know, because we'll bite your kneecap off and like, okay, maybe there's something to that at like a lower level, like a junior high school coach. But man, NFL coaches, you can say all that you want. I mean, those guys are a dime a dozen. Someone who will get up there and be like, we're going to be tougher than the other guys. No, what you need to be is just absolutely elite and smarter than everybody. Like, I mean, Andy Reid is not out here being like, well, we're biting kneecaps off. No, he's just brilliant. Dan Campbell. And we can't get Eric Bieniemy a head coaching job. It's patently absurd. It is absurd. How do you feel about this, Dan Campbell? Mitch, you're giving me nothing here. You're leaving me out on this island.
Well, let me speak for Detroit here and say that, listen, it's hard up here. All right? This is where tough people come to coach. All right? If you're not willing to take a body part from somebody, then we don't want you. No, obviously, if you want to get a little bit deeper into Eric Bieniemy, I had a couple of thoughts when you were talking, but not so much about the Lions coach and that whole situation. Obviously, the whole audio you just played is ridiculous and wanting to take kneecaps. I mean, it will grab your attention, but it sounds completely psycho. But with Eric Bieniemy, you know, think about the guys that were there before him in his spot. You're looking at like guys like Matt Nagy, Doug Peterson, who both went on to coach in the as head coaches in the NFL. Nagy's still with the Bears and has had some recent success. And Doug Peterson just got canned by the Eagles 10 days ago. But what's some differences about these guys, though, with Eric Bieniemy? Well, Eric Bieniemy, first of all, was not a quarterback like the other two. He's a running back. He's been more successful than both of those guys in their 10 years as offensive coordinators in Kansas City. So it's not accolades that's holding Eric Bieniemy back. I would actually kind of maybe – does it mean he's not interviewing as well? Because you said you don't think it is. I think that may be in play. But I don't know.
I mean, he's interviewed 15 times. And again, like, he's working closely with Andy Reid. Like, you think after a couple
it's
of
crazy.
Those, he wouldn't go through and be like, hey, man, can you help me? I mean, he's a capable enough – guy that Andy Reid entrusts him with being the offensive coordinator and has now for years. Patrick Mahomes was vouching for him to Deshaun Watson, which is why, in part, Watson has blown up on Houston and got mad because they wouldn't interview Bieniemy the first time around. They eventually did, but not before Watson threw a fit about it. Like, it seems to me to be cognitively impossible to come to the conclusion that somebody in that spot that's been through it that many times with those kind of mentors and people around him would not be able to get that figured out through 15 interviews.
I gotta ask this, though. Like, why why are the Chiefs fans, why are Chiefs fans so the most bent out of shape about him not moving on? I mean, yes, I get rooting for him. He deserves a head coaching job. But why not be a little bit selfish about this?
Well, that's what I kind of am. I don't want anything to change. But I feel for him. Like, he is somebody that I like and appreciate, and it's something that brings a bigger issue and cause to the forefront because I see him wearing the colors of the team that I root for. So I think it just brings a heightened sense of awareness to the whole thing. That's me speaking for me. I can't speak for other Chiefs fans, but that's just – it's, you know, if there is a bigger picture cause that you care about, you're going to be even more vocal about it if it's in your own backyard. Easier to ignore if it's – if we're talking about the Lions offensive coordinator – that's easier to ignore. It's off in Detroit. I mean, I'll hear about it some, and I'll have an opinion, but, like, you know, that's not really going to be something that I think about all the time. This is because it's in my face quite a bit because Bieniemy is the OC of the Chiefs.
He said he wants to be a head coach in the NFL.
Yeah.
He certainly does.
Listen, it's ridiculous. Number one song of the day is coming up next.
This shit, that ice cold Michelle, fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpiece.
I do not like Bruno Mars music.
Well,
I do not like Bruno Mars music.
Really?
Don't. At all.
And he's been compared to, he's like the modern day Michael Jackson, some people say.
Yeah, I don't really like Michael Jackson.
I can appreciate, like, his stage presence. Like, I thought when he had performed at the Super Bowl, I think he's done it twice now, I thought his show was pretty good. I'm with you. I'm like, I'm not the biggest, I probably wouldn't go see him at a concert or anything. I think you would put on a good show, though.
Even I can... I don't like listening to Michael Jackson's music, but I can appreciate and understand, like, how talented he is. We're talking about, like, I don't even know if saying Diet Michael Jackson is fair here. We're talking about, like, you know, the Diet Dr. Shasta version of Dr. Pepper or something. I mean, like, what?
Well, what you're not saying here, though, this is from 2015. This is Uptown Funk by Mark Ronson featuring Bruno Mars, 14 weeks at number one. So we're not going to feature Bruno Mars here. We're going to feature Mark Ronson.
Wait, who's the other? Who is this?
This is Mark Ronson's song. He is the lead artist on this. The feature is Bruno Mars.
So that's this guy that I'm hearing right here? No, well, not there.
I suppose. I don't know.
Okay.
The only thing I know about this song is what I read real quick before the show and copy and paste it into what I'm about to read here. So Mark Ronson, he is from Notting Hill, London, England, musician, DJ, songwriter, and he is best known for his collaborations with, who you're hearing right here, Bruno Mars, but also Amy Winehouse, Adele, Lady Gaga, Lily Allen, Robbie Williams, Miley Cyrus, and Queens of the Stone Age. His stepfather, I thought this was interesting, his stepfather is Mick Jones, who is a founding member of the band Foreigner. And he's the only original member of the band still with Foreigner, even though they do tour without him, which I think is nuts. But 5 studio albums, 6 top tens. This was his only number one as a lead artist. This is from the album, his 4th studio album, Uptown Special, his most successful album to date. So this was Mark Ronson's first entry into the Hot 100 as an artist. His first credit as a writer on a chart hit was Christina Aguilera's 2006, Hurt. Remember Hurt by Christina Aguilera? He's partially responsible for it.
I don't remember that. I just keep thinking of that. Is it a Willie Nelson song or a Nine Inch Nails song or what?
No.
A...
I don't think it's the same one, but I'm not sure. That's a Nine Inch Nails song, by the way, that Johnny Cash covered.
No, Johnny Cash. I don't mind Willie Nelson song. I'm sorry, that was bad. I know better than that. I know better than that.
So the goal, I guess, for this song was when Ronson and Bruno Mars wrote this song together, it was just to create a monster party vibe type of song. Uptown implies high class when you got the funk. That implies rhythm and release. Now, there was a little bit of controversy because the 1980s Minneapolis funk group Collage, they sued Ronson and Mars for copyright infringement, and they're also sued by, by Zapp. They're a 1980s electro-funk band that had the song More Bounce to the Ounce.
Is it, why do you think that's so funny? That's far less funny than the dog on Tinder.
More Bounce to the Ounce is clever. I like that.
That's far less funny than the dog
on
Tinder.
Both of those lawsuits were settled out of court. Don't know for how much, but keep going here. Little Mitty there that just popped in.
Yeah, I was like, what's happening? Jeff Mitty has thoughts on Uptown Funk?
He has some thought about some officials last night, I can tell you that. So this is one of just four songs ever to lead the Hot 100 and the official UK singles chart.
Can we not listen to this again?
They team up with Bryan Adams, Everything I Do It For You, Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You, and Rihanna's Umbrella in that category.
Now that's a song. Umbrella is one of the best pop songs of all time.
Didn't I have that as a number one? I think it was Umbrella. Yeah, it was.
Did we? Because it's one of the greatest pop songs ever created.
We had the whole argument, is it Rihanna or Rihanna?
Okay, yeah, I remember that.
This song won Grammy Awards for Record of the Year and Best Pop Duo Group Performance of 2016. How about this? This song spent the most time, 21 weeks, in the Hot 100's top three. We're not just counting number one, but in the top three, more than any other song of all time. The original record was Santana. Well, not the original, but the song it broke the record of was Santana's Smooth with 19 weeks. So this song was popular.
That's another song I really don't like at all.
Oh.
Smooth?
What?
No, Smooth.
You don't like some Rob Thomas with Santana?
No, I hate Rob. I feel like we've covered this ground before.
You
I absolutely
hate Rob Thomas.
Yes, I do hate Rob Thomas.
You dislike Matchbox 20.
There's one guy out there, I don't remember who it is, on Twitter. Twice I've talked about hating Rob Thomas and Matchbox 20, right?
Why do you hate Rob
Thomas? Oh, it's just cookie cutter crap. It's just not good music. I don't know.
So you hate Rob Thomas, but you love Creed.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I just figured, like, all that just kind of goes hand in hand. Like, it was definitely music in the sound for the era.
Yeah, no, not a fan of Rob Thomas. Smooth, it's just one of those I've heard a million times, like this one, and I'm like, you know what? Let's just get to Ask Us Anything. Take this song away.
It's gone.
Okay, Ask Us Anything, then. Saw a picture of our guy Dan Campbell sitting at the desk of the head coach's office of the Detroit Lions. Somebody's caption was, somebody's tweet with the picture was, he looks like a man who is stressed about trying to sell half a dozen F-150s by the end of the week. We're just not on the same page of what we think is funny today. You're laughing about stuff that does nothing for me. I'm laughing about things that apparently don't do anything for you.
I mean, to me, it sounds like he should maybe be like a State Farm agent. That's what his name sounds like to me.
Well, it was more about just like how he looks, too. I mean, he's just such a...
Okay. All right. I like it now. All right.
The cookie cutter football guy. Getting jobs over Eric Bieniemy. Who is your hero, Mitch? Who is your hero?
Well, what are we talking here? Are we talking wrestling? Are we talking show business?
Why do you go to wrestling? Like, so I ask you who your hero is, and you immediately go to
hero.
It's got to be a wrestler. Man,
I'm trying to think of like back when I was a kid, or I wouldn't say like overall like are we talking favorite superhero? Like,
we lived different lives as children, different lives.
Yeah, I was watching. Monday Night Raw and Stone Cold just tear dudes apart, and you were ranking top 25s on your bedroom floor.
Yeah. Was Stone Cold biting kneecaps off at that point? Or
no. No, no. He did it the old-fashioned way.
Okay. Would you rather vacation in Hawaii or Alaska, and why? How is that a question? Who's picking Alaska?
Oh, I would pick Alaska if it was like during the summer. I don't want to go when it's just 3 feet of snow. Alaska's beautiful.
You trying to find Sarah Palin? Like, what? I mean, what else is in Alaska?
It's a beautiful landscape. There's like if you're into fishing, that's a great fishing area. Mountains. The outdoors, man. You're not an outdoors guy, so.
Well, I mean, I love Colorado. I love hiking. And I like fishing. I'm not a hunter at all.
I don't know the most about Alaska. Like, I don't know a ton about it, but.
I would much rather. I mean, Hawaii? Like, I want to go on a beach. I've got a trip. No, I shouldn't even. I'm not going to go there. But I would love to go to Hawaii. I would love to go to Hawaii. I need to be on a beach. I want to be on a beach right now.
Well, K-State volleyball plays there at like every 2 years, so.
I know.
Talk Rob into letting
you
go.
Rob's got the cushiest gig. Yeah, so does Chris Brown, for that matter.
Yeah.
Shout out to my dude, Chris. He gets to go on all those trips. He's on the baseball trips, too, which usually are pretty nice places at the beginning of the year. We do need to figure that out. Can I get on one of those volleyball trips to, you know, all expenses paid trip to Hawaii? Put it on the company dime. Bring the company card with me to Hawaii. Can you imagine? Just, you know, drinking Mai Tais and swiping the corporate card.
But the thing is, like, when I think of Hawaii, it's just, you know, sitting on a beach, enjoying the sun. But when I think of Alaska, it's more of an adventure.
Yeah.
A lot more landscape to see.
And I love adventure types of trips.
Which
I mean, like, when we went to New York, my whole mindset was, we're going to go just explore and see everything that we can and do everything that we can. But I've never in my life done the just straight up, like, beach trip. Like, straight up beach, resort, Mexico, Hawaii, Florida, whatever. I've never done that. So that's something that I want to do. I want a trip where I don't have to worry about anything but sitting on a beach and drinking some fruity drink.
Florida beaches are overrated.